Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Wednesday. It's been absolutely gorgeous. If you're watching from out of state, today it was 78 degrees here in Duffield, Virginia. Beautiful day, absolutely beautiful. But let's all stand and sing a song, Lord. Let's sing number 595, Send the Light. Let's all stand and sing. 595.
Good to see all of you tonight. We will be in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and it's, again, I'm thankful to be here, and thankful that y'all allowed me to go down to Georgia and be a part of the 50th anniversary celebration and renewal of vows for Mama and Daddy. And as you turn into Genesis 18, it was a wonderful thing. I guess there was anywhere from 150 to 170 people showed up, and it was beautiful. You could feel the Spirit of God there, and probably the best thing about it, though, was before it, we didn't do a rehearsal. I thought we was going to do a rehearsal as you're turning to Genesis 18 on Friday night. Well, we didn't, and thank God we didn't, because we didn't leave until Friday morning because of the rain Thursday evening. And We left out about 5:30, and everything was great until you get to I-95 in Savannah, the exit 87. And we need to get to 89. And we sat for 45 minutes waiting on 2 miles. But we was able to get it. And on Saturday, I took Mom and Daddy and my brothers, and we went to a side room to kind of, you know, get the order and structure. And Mama said, just pray for me. My heart's starting to palpitate or do something. And I could see it was nerves. And so we just said, I told her, I said, just watch me. We'll wing it. You know, whatever happens, happens. And you remember I told you, Daddy said he wasn't going to say nothing, but I will or I do. And so that was what when I got there, that's what the note said. And so I got into the part where I say, Randall, will you take Edie to be your lawful wedded wife? And, you know, there's a whole spiel there to have and to hold for richer or for poor. Well, I didn't much left to get through. Randall, will you take Edie to be your lawful wedded wife? And he hit me with an I will right there. And I said, buddy, that's wonderful, but let's slow down because there's a whole lot more you got to agree to. But it was beautiful. And then being able to be in service with my father and not preach, just to be there and to be able to be fed a little bit. And it was very challenging. I was able to listen to Brother Don, and thankful for the message he brought. And sorry, thankful for Brother Otis catching my slack Sunday night. But a good weekend and a grand time. And to be honest, I was able to learn a lot about. We had tragedy in my family. My granddad killed my grandmother and killed himself due to depression and alcoholism and stuff like that. And, you know, as a child, there were certain things you just didn't talk about. But I was able to talk with my aunts and uncles, and one of the things that they said was, you know, there's the tragedy there, but I look at the seed they left behind, and it's been a good seed. And that means a lot, you know. And, you know, sometimes people's brains, just like your bodies, wear out and they don't function properly, and our God is a big God, and when he has a hold of you, can't nothing take you out of his hand, not even yourself as a created being. Amen. So it's good to be in the house tonight. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this evening? She's a doll baby though, ain't she? She is beautiful, is she? Anyone else? Thank you. Said, how's Mama doing? And Daddy? Good, good. I was wondering where that Bible was. I just found the one I couldn't find. Anyone else? We will pray for them. I tell you what, we've had one county this week that finally got delivery of the metal detectors for the schools. Doesn't that break your heart? That even in our area here, that there has to be metal detectors, resource officers. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Cancer has become a plague. Cancer has become a plague. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Kent. If you take it, if you get a chance and are mindful of it, as you go out tonight, look at the lights. The lights got changed today to the LED lights. But speaking of cancer, me and Brother Keith had a wonderful discussion with one of the men that were out there changing it. And he was telling me about he got saved as an adult. And he went to church on Sundays with his family, husband, wife, and children, not because he wanted to go to church, but because it's what you do in this area, at least before COVID. And he said that one morning he felt the Holy Spirit drawing him in the middle of service, and he was going to turn over to his wife and say, you know, I need to be saved. But before he could, she passed in front of him, and she made her way up to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. And then 3 years later, she passed away with cancer. She found out about it like this month, and in 3 months, she had passed on. And he made this statement. He says, had it not been for the Lord and my church family, I couldn't have made it through it. And so you just never know. But a church home, number one, Christ is your Lord and Savior. But then a church home is vital as we go through the storms of life. Anyone else? And thank God for our new lights. Anyone else? Yeah, that was the same type that he said his wife had. We will. We'll be praying. And then also, Sister Jenny McKinney has the COVID as well. I've not got back into my routine yet. Matter of fact, I don't even have a prayer list tonight, but I figure the Lord knows who we need. Anybody else with a prayer need or a prayer? I know Brother Wayne is going to be having eye surgery on Friday for the busted blood, the hemorrhage in the eye. But as far as I can tell from the last time I've talked with him, he doesn't believe he'll have to stay in or anything like that, that it'll be a laser type surgery there. Also, Sister Peggy, as far as I know, made it home. The last time I was told that her, Sister Patty, and Sister Ruth was coming back this way. So, she was up yesterday and was in the chair, and she had walked, and she also offered my mama. It's funny, Miss Peggy had her surgery yesterday, and my mama had her pre-op yesterday. And so I told me, and mama said, it kind of overwhelmed me, all that they're telling me. And then I said that to Sister Peggy, and Sister Peggy started sending prayers and advice and exercises and all that. So thankful for that. Any other prayer needs? Arnie, is that Mr. Ernie? Anyone else? Yeah, it is. When Brother Philip Smith passed away, I started doing some reading on it, and at that time it was one in three women or females and one in four men will be diagnosed with some type of cancer. I mean, it may be skin cancer or something like that, but that's been 4 or 5 years ago. I have some people say to me, you're the preacher, you hear about all of it. But just think about in your life, how at least once a week, most of us probably hear of someone new that has cancer. And many times, you know, that robs people of their fight and their faith when they hear that word. It just knocks you in the back of the head, you know. But God's bigger than cancer, amen? And he's already defeated it. Anyone else? We've got some weddings coming up. I'm going to continue to pray for them. And then also the babies being born. I know there's some need of some babysitters right now. And not just every now and then. The mamas is I got to go to work, so I want to pray for them and the decisions that need to be made. Anyone else? How's your cousin? Sister Betty? Nephew, I'm sorry.
He's
Is he? Praise the Lord. We'll do it. What was his name again? Craig. If you are watching by Facebook or listening by the radio tonight, we will tell you that it's good to have you tonight and thankful you're a part of us. And if you do have any prayer needs, just post them on our on the side as you're watching, and we'll do our best to pray for them. Sister Fleet has sent me a message, and her neighbor, Townsend, what was Townsend? He went home to into eternity. But she said it was the way he wanted it, quick, and you know, so we continue to pray for that family. Want to continue to pray for Sister Sherry and Brother Danny and Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy. Trying to just go through my mind. Anyone else tonight? Martin. Thank you, sister. We will. Also, let's don't forget the bereaved. You know, as we've moved on past, we've had a lot pass on over the past month or so, but we can move on and kind of be unmindful, but they're still living in that new world, you know, without that loved one, and we want to lift them up. How about somebody with an answered prayer? That God has answered this prayer. Maybe it's small, maybe it's tiny, a nothing, but God's answered it. Anyone? Brother Paul? Amen. Amen. Family. Brother Otis? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Maddie, as you know, she's still having some of the passing out and heads, and we thought it was this POTS, POTS, but yesterday was her first visit to the neurologist, and they kindly think it's just got to do with the tumor before and her body regulating itself and figuring it all out. So that's encouraging there. Anyone else? Yeah, Brother Otis? Amen. Nothing there that shouldn't be there. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. It's good to be a child of the King tonight. No matter what state we're in, no matter how we're feeling, He says, you're mine. And He defines our worth and our value, not the situation or the circumstances, but Him and Him alone. All right, Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you open us up in prayer? And also just want to remind you that the altar is open and you're more than welcome any time to come. Brother Gary. All right. Tonight we'll be in Genesis chapter 18, but we'll also be referring over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And if I had a title for tonight's message or study, it would simply be More About Christian Hospitality. If you remember a few weeks ago, we did a study on Christian hospitality, and God kind of opened up the door to this, and we talked with Sister Tammy and some situations that have come up recently. And you've heard me say this also, that they just ain't normal since COVID. And God is kindly, or at least the situation, anybody else need one? Oh, yes, Sister Ernestine.
God has kind of shown me this, that yeah, things are normal, but it's a new normal. It's a different normal, and things will not ever be the same again. I mean, as we look at our culture, we see the idea of transgenderism and transvestites and all that being not only accepted in our culture, but pushed upon our children. That's not normal the way that I've been raised. But it is becoming the norm of our society. And just like evangelism, outreach. Used to, no problem going up to a door, knocking on the door, and expecting someone on the other side not only to open the door, but 8 out of 10 times, they'll be a welcoming as they open up the door. But that's not, it's not anymore. We have people today that they'll never go into another big crowd again. They'll wait to do their grocery shopping in the middle of the night and different things like that. And so as we're thinking about, and I don't know about you, we listened to Brother Don on Sunday, the need for evangelism, the need to tell others about Christ. And my desire is not only to see the kingdom of God grow, but to see our church grow. To see our pews full. And be honest with you, right now, if we look at what we are and where we're at now, yeah, it can be a little disheartening. But if you look at what God's doing through the birth of children, through the marriages that are happening, God is setting us up for the future. In a few years, like I said, there's churches closing all around us. And if we're the church that has a vital children's program, if we're the church that is willing to build on the youth program and the young adults and allow those new ones that are here to serve the way God has called them to serve and not try to dictate to them, you got to do it this way or you got to do it that way or my way, God is going to do something awesome around here. And He's building us for the future. But to do that, we've got to be willing to receive whosoever God sends to this church. Purple hair, piercings, tattoos, all of that. We can't say that's not welcome here. Would Jesus say that's not welcome here? No, Jesus is the picture of Christian hospitality. And so tonight I just want us to look a little bit more into the truth of Christian hospitality. Are you there in Genesis chapter 18? All right, let's begin in verse 1 and we'll read all the way through verse 15, okay? Genesis 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared unto Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. Abraham looked up, and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, Abraham ran from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed to the ground. Then he said, My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not go past your servant. Let a little water be brought, that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread, so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later, you can continue on. That, you think those three men knew that they were welcome there? Abraham, let it be known. This is why you've come this way, to be with me. Look there in verse 5. Verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, Quick, knead 3 measures of fine flour and make bread. Meanwhile, Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared,
and sent them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," Abraham answered. Then the Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself, "After I have become shriveled up and my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did your wife laugh, or why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm this old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will come back to you, and in about a year she will have a son.'" Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, because she was afraid. But he replied, "No, you did laugh." And then if you want to, you can jump over to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, because this is kind of the scripture that the Lord used to bring the issue of Christian hospitality to my heart. And it's over in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you remember the sermon from a few Wednesday nights ago, it was from this passage, and we looked at from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. But I think this kind of hits us where we live at. Are you there? Say amen. 1 Peter 4, 7. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert. Be sober-minded in prayer. Then above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." Verse 9. "Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift," speaking of our spiritual gifts, "use it to serve others as good stewards of of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's word. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Christ Jesus in everything. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And may God add the blessing to the reading of His Scriptures. But I think that we are at the end of all things. Again, how bad was Sodom? How much worse could it be than America is right now? And to be honest, I think God has something in store for America, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be pleasant. Now, it's going to be righteous, but that's not to say that we're going to enjoy it. And really and truly, I believe at any time the Lord could call us home, that we would be raptured out of here, and we'd be absent from the body to be present with Him. But meantime, we have been called, as we read, to use our spiritual gifts to try to grow the kingdom of God. And another thing, I'll be honest. Remember I talked about we're living in a new normal? It's okay to feel out of place. Amen? Because we should. The Bible says that we're strangers and pilgrims here, that we are citizens of another city, and that our names have been written in another census or in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so it's okay to feel out of place, but we cannot hide ourselves. We have to bloom where we're planted, you might say. But we've been called, and a part of our calling as Christians is to be hospitable. I'd never thought about it before very much. Matter of fact, if you remember, I didn't even know the word hospitality was in the Bible. Tonight we're going to look at the four occasions of it. But the idea of hospitality begins in the book of Genesis and flows all the way through to the book of Revelation. Does anybody remember, just give me an off-the-cuff definition of hospitality, or to be hospitable. Ma'am? Welcoming. Welcoming. Anyone else? Courteous. Exactly. To receive. To be supportive. To engage. The idea that remember, we talked about how in today's society, we have two words that we use. There's entertaining, and then there's hospitality. And while I was reading behind some, and isn't it awesome, though? I was just thinking about Gate City because I was reading behind somebody. It's good to see Gate City on the slam dunk contest. Wasn't it? That was pretty awesome. I might even have to get me a Gate City shirt. But I've been reading behind some men, and one makes the difference between entertaining and hospitality. How many of you has ever redone a room in your house, or you've done cleaned up something or painted or whatever, and you'll say, well, once we get that last coat of paint, once we put that last bit of caulking on the trim work, then we'll have Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy over. Why not just have them over there when the paint's on the wall and the tape's taped up and you've got plastic on the floor? What's the difference? One is we're trying to show off. The other is we're making room for. You know, when we're willing to receive somebody, when we're willing to welcome, my wife has had me turn people away at the front door or either say, give her 5 minutes while she puts the dishes up and all that. You know, but sometimes people don't care what the house looks like. Sometimes people don't care whether you've painted or you ain't painted or if the dishes is there. Sometimes what they're going through is bigger than our embarrassment. And that's where we have to be. That if we're going to be welcoming, hospitable, then it's not, we can't make it about us. We can't make it about the surroundings. We can't make it about anything other than making a place for that individual in our place. You know, that's what it means. Here's the definitions. Hospitable. Receiving with kindness without expectation of reward or recognition. The characteristic of treating guests with liberal kindness and generosity, whether it be a friend or whether it be a stranger. Hospitality. Given to generous and cordial receptions. Promising and suggesting generous welcome, extending a pleasant and supportive environment. Praise God. Isn't that what we want Thomas Village to be? A pleasant and encouraging environment. I mean, we hear a lot today about safe spaces, right? A lot. And you know, that's what the church is meant to be. You know, that's why we don't bring issues from the outside world into here. Why? Because this is the place where we run away from everything if we can help it. Hospitality is an intentional act where we put others and their needs before our own wants and desires. Hospitality shows people, I see you. Meaning that you matter. You're not invisible. You're not just a something over in the wall that's or at a distance that just makes up the background, but you are here and I recognize that you're here. Hospitality not only tells them that you see them, but it also tells them that you have worth. You have value. I mean, is it just me or are we hearing about a lot of suicides right now? And I guess it's this time of year, but that you know what it means to have value? That there is something, there is a quality inside of them that makes them, that you desire. There's something about them that is to be desired. And I'll be honest with you, I think about myself sometimes. There is nothing that I recognize about myself that God should desire. But yet He sees something in me that He has worth so much that He shed His blood for me. And that's what people need to know from us. That's what hospitality does. It says, I see you, I value you, but not only that, I want you here. I'm willing to go to an effort. I'm willing to extend energy, sweat, effort, whatever, to make a place for you so that you can fit in my place. Because ain't that way we feel about our church? This is my church, buddy. Huh? And when people come in, lots of times we won't do this outwardly and we won't say it verbally, but we'll look at them and we'll value whether are they worth it. Should I make an effort for them to have a place in my place? Right? And I had somebody tell me a few weeks ago, they're very close to me because they're getting close to someone I love. And they may be in my life more. And they didn't say it to me, but they said it to the one I love, that churches are just places of judgment. That immediately when you walk in, you're evaluated. You've been weighed. You've been measured. Is that what people think about church today? Is that why things have changed since COVID a little bit? That there's been that distance that's grown, and now people are just like, meh. Oh, they need to feel the love, not the judgment, but the love, the value, the worth. And we're the ones. What did Jesus say? You're going to do even greater things when I'm gone. And it's amazing how the devil has robbed the church universally of that. That we've become more of the opposite of what we've intended to be, that the world sees us as the one that judges them instead of receiving them in no matter state they're in. Being hospitable is an effort that I make, that you make, that anyone makes to make people feel and know that this place is the place you ought to be. This place is the place I want you to be, and this place is the place that God wants us to be together. See, the idea and the term Christian hospitality, how many of you had heard it before the past month? Not much. I mean, it's almost like this new term, this new idea, but it's always been. It's biblical. I mean, listen at these passages. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 through 37. You must regard the foreigner who lives with you as the native born among you. You are to love them as yourself. You were the foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. You must not be unfair in measurements of length, weight, or volume. You are to have honest balances, honest weights, and honest dry measures, and an honest liquid measure. I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the place you were a foreigner, out of Egypt. You must keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am Yahweh. And then Leviticus. What does that mean? The law, right? And then there's the documents. Deuteronomy. Listen, Deuteronomy 14:29. Then the Levite, who has no portion or inheritance among you, the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow within your gates may come, eat, and be satisfied. And the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. Now, see, that's the law of God, right? That's the commands of God. And that's what he gives to the people of God. But did you hear there in that last one out of Leviticus chapter 14, verse 29? What did he say? He said, the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, the widows, all of those, make them feel welcome. Feed them. Take care of them. Love them. But then what did he say? And if you do it, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. There's a promise. Not only is it a command, but he says, okay, I'll take it a step further. If you'll show the hospitality of your Creator that I've commanded you, then guess what? My favor will fall upon you. Remember what blessings was? It was the outside influence of someone coming into our lives that enhances and makes our lives better. That's what God says. You be hospitable, I'll help you. But notice, it doesn't stop there. The word hospitality or hospitable is not used in the Old Testament King James Version. But it is used four times in the New Testament King James Version. The first one that we will talk about is there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, where he says, be hospitable, receive one another, and stop complaining about it. Well, you can come to the house, but just know I really would rather you not. I'll make a place for you at the table, but all you're going to get is the wing and not the chicken breast. You see, that's the idea. So our own way of doing things, it's human. And you know, God's dealt with it before. He'll deal with it after us, and he understands. And he says, hey, time's getting short here. Things are drawing to an end. Love one another. Look out for one another. Welcome those around you and stop complaining. But then the second one is over in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. And this is Paul preaching. And as a matter of fact, you remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it begins, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And what you see is this is basically in Romans chapter 12, we see Christian duty. This is what we're to do. In fact, and if you look between verses 9 and 21 of Romans chapter 12, some Bibles have it labeled as Christian ethics or the practices of those that want to display a life of Christ. Listen to what he says, Romans 12, 13. Distributing to the needs of others, of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, again, Paul is laying out the duties of a believer. And one of those duties is what? Hospitality. And then there's the final two. One is found over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And the other is found in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. And while it may be found to two different people, it's written by Paul, and it's covering the same topic, and that is the qualifications and the expectations of a bishop, which in the Baptist church is the preacher, and to another level down is the deacon. The Dictionary of Biblical Languages says that a bishop is a guardian, a supervisor, a keeper, leader, or overseer of the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Now notice, we as Americans and the Greeks or the Romans wrote a little bit like us, and they kind of listed them from greatest to least. And notice that hospitality comes before the ability to teach. Think about that. The willingness to receive and to make others feel welcome and wanted. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, that a deacon is to be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. So as a pastor, my first duty is to serve God. Not the church or the people of the church. My first duty is to God, just like the deacons. And you know what? If you hold a title or a position in this church, your first duty is to God and alone, and how He has called you to minister into that place. But I'm not only to be one that practices hospitality. I'm to be deacons, and then if we take it to the full extent, leaders. We're to be the examples of hospitality. We're to be the ones that the others in the church can look to and see what it means to welcome and receive others. They're to be able to look at us and know that, hey, if I want somebody to feel like they matter, if I want somebody to feel like they're of worth, then I need to act like Pastor Brian or Brother Otis or Sister Yvonne. That's who I need to be. So as the deacon and the pastor, I'm to show guests, our visitors, without spending a pat on the back, without anybody recognizing, I'm to make those guests feel the kindness and generosity of this church. You know, I've got to be mindful always. And again, I've got to intentionally, whosoever walks in that door, I want them to feel the joy and the pleasantness and the security of this place. And I've got to be ready and willing to put my own wants and desires for that brief amount of time. How long are we here on Sunday mornings? Even with Sunday school, maybe 3 hours. For those 3 hours or more, I've got to be willing to put my own wants aside and say, hey, we're going to make it about you knowing that you're welcome here. And the deacons are to be right behind me. You remember I said that the word hospitality or hospitable is only used 4 times in the New Testament. But in the Greek, the word is used maybe a little bit more. But I want to spell this word to you because I don't say words well. But this is how it's spelled in the Greek. And then you tell me how it's said. P-H-I-L-O-Z-E-N-O-S. P-H-I-L-O-Z-E-N-O-S. How's that? How would you say that? Phazonos? Phazinos? Okay, there's a city in America that has a name that begins just like that. P-H-I-L, and there's a song in Born and Raised on the Playground where I spent most of my days. Y'all remember that one? All right, fill in the blank. Philadelphia. What is the nickname for Philadelphia? The City of Brotherly Love. Well, guess what? The root word of hospitality in the Greek means the love to the stranger or the foreigner. Isn't that awesome? That's our command, is to love those. And think about this. If we go all the way back, didn't God call the children of God, the Israelites, to love the outcast? to love the weirdos, to love the ones that were on the outskirts of society, not the ones that looked like us, not the ones that were of the same nationality or had the same hairdo or whatever, but the ones that are different. And really back then it was of a different race. And that still carries today, but we've got so many different categories now. Again, you remember, I never thought about Christian hospitality until God brought it to my attention. And then I never thought about Jesus being hospitable until the Bible showed me that not only is He our sacrifice and our Redeemer and the covering of our sins, but He is the perfect example. He showed us how to make places for people in our life. Remember, they complained about it. They said, "Hey, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Why?" Well, what He did was He welcomed whosoever. Now, He made a place for them for a little while, but if they wanted to stay in His place, they had to give up some stuff, didn't they? And that's what we're to do. We're not just to accept whatever. We make a place. And remember, we looked at Jesus and we talked about some things that we could apply to our life. You remember, Jesus willingly welcomed everyone. He made a place for them. That's what He did on the cross. He made a place for whosoever. But the idea was like the idea of the publican and the sinner. You remember, how dare He hang out with those guys? How dare He make a place at His table for them? But He did. And thank God He did. And remember something else? Jesus was willing to engage in people, with people. Remember the woman at the well? It wasn't just a passerby. Remember, a lot of people said, "I can't even go through Samaria." But Jesus said, "I got to go through Samaria. I need to go through Samaria." And you remember the fact that she had a couple of husbands and was living with somebody else, that just wasn't some useless trivia. It mattered to Him. He was concerned about that. And she recognized that. And then you know what? He paid attention. He paid attention to people He was talking to. He allowed them. And we need to do that. And then, I love this one. He made a priority out of eating. Remember? He always, "Hey, where are you going?" "Well, we're going to eat with Zacchaeus today." "Well, we're going to go to his house. We'll see about eating." But every time you see things, what happened? He was there eating with somebody. There's something that happens over a meal table. But in this passage that we read tonight, not only can we learn stuff from from Jesus, but we can learn a lot from other people in the Bible. We go all the way back to this chapter. And I just want you to look at three things. I'm going to do it real quick because I want us to go through that list. The first thing that we need to be practicing is that we need to get excited about receiving our guests. How many of us are expecting to see a guest Sunday morning? Amen. Are we prepared when we walk in there that there's going to be somebody here today that's not normally here, and I'm going to want them to feel welcome? Notice what it says there in verse 2. When He saw them, He ran from His entrance to where they was. He got out of His place to meet them in their place. You know, and I know that there are some folks that, you know, they don't want to be pressured. They don't want to do that. And that's when you pray for the discernment of the Holy Spirit and you don't override. But man, some people, they want to feel that they belong. Most people want to feel like they belong. They want to believe that there's a place for them. And when you're excited about seeing them, how many of you got a dog? I got a cat, and that son of a gun, he'll wait on me at the door for like, I don't know how many years, he couldn't even meow. But he would get so excited now that he meows, and he goes, "Nah." It's strange. He's weird, and he makes that noise. But you know what? To know that he's excited about me getting home, that means something. Think about my children and my wife. If they would ever get excited about me coming home, how it would do me. But we need to be excited about those that choose to give their time to this church. That they've never get it before, may never give it again, but God has called them for that one place, one time, and we need to let them know, "I'm excited about you being here." Notice something else. They honored them in humility. Not only did they run to meet them, but what did He do? Bowed on the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but if you come to my house, I probably ain't going to bow down at your feet. Because you're on my territory. I'm the one that pays the bills around there. I've been pastor of this church 6 years. So don't expect me to come to where you at. You come to me. but not Abraham. And now think about who Abraham's going to become and who he's becoming. But yet he went and he bowed down before him and said, don't go nowhere. This is where you need to be at. This is the whole reason you came this direction, is to be at this place at this time. Let me ask you this. If you were looking for a new church or you were looking for a place and somebody made you feel that everything about that day and maybe that past week had brought you to that place and that time, would that not make an impact upon you? It would me. And I might be willing to go back and see, hey, maybe if I found that much there that first time, what might I find the next time? And I've got seven of these, but this is just like a teaser for the next sermon. The last one is this. Abraham's service brought him new sight. It was only after he got up from where he was and went to where they were at, only after he killed the cow and he did all that, that he found out that in a year's time, I'm going to be a daddy. Would he have known that had he not bowed down? Would he have known that had he not been willing to go to where they were? Not only did he find that out, but what did he find out? He found out some stuff that's going on with Lot, all that situation with Sodom, and that things is going to get bad. And then God allowed him to intercede on behalf of all that. And I can't say that it's because he welcomed them, but I can say it didn't happen until he welcomed them. Isn't that amazing? And so as we think about Christian hospitality, I think it has a major role in the life of the Christian and of the church, but I think it's one that Satan has put so far out of the idea that we've just passed over it and it's gone generations without even being talked about. Any thoughts? Any comments? Now, this that I've gave you tonight, this is not my own idea. As a matter of fact, I looked it up, and it's almost three different surveys of how hospitable is your church. And to be honest with you, some of these questions I was like, what in the world does that have to do with being welcoming? How in the world? But what you'll see is this, it boils down to basically two things. How does the church look? And how do the people make you feel? That's what it boils down to. And I don't know what I did with it. And so tonight what I want you to do, I just want you to take it home with you, and I want you to look over it, pray over it, and then it's going to be, what in the world did I do with it? Huh? Oh, I gave them to you, didn't I? That's exactly what I thought. But if you don't, and I will probably ask for this back just for my own self, so if you feel uncomfortable putting your name on it, I understand that. You don't even have to put the date on it. But I do want to read through it with you just so that you understand. And it says, this document is meant to be a starting point for a discussion. The way to do the assessment is to look at these items as if it were the first time at this church, that you're a visitor. We all have blind spots that keep us from seeing stuff that is out of place. So look at these things from the perspective of a person driving by on the street or a guest for the first time. This is a brainstorming tool rather than an all-inclusive checklist for church, meaning that it's just, you know, we're not to solve any problems, really. We're just to try to say, I see this, I don't see that. If I see it, how far do I see it? And notice, it's going to be 1 to 10, with 10, 1 being just this terrible, we need to just blow it up, really, and start anew, or the 10 being perfect. As you go through this, you're going to notice things around the church and church membership, and maybe even in our own lives. Make notes of these things when they cross your mind. Let your creativity flow as you go through the list slowly and deliberately. Brother, you can turn off the feed tonight. It's been good having y'all, but this is in-house stuff, okay? Some of these things are better evaluated, meaning maybe you want to wait and for a couple services, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then to think about it. Some may be better during the week when you can get alone and think about it. And as you do it, you're going to have thoughts that, well, maybe we ought to do this, or we need to try this. Write those things down. Put them down. May never come to anything, but might be just the thing, you know, one or the other. But again, later on, we'll talk about it, Lord willing. But I want to read through them and make sure, because I'm bad about my typing, and so there may be some misspelled words or some